What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 41. I am one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Natitude.
And Tyler.
I stole your word.
No, you didn't.
And alongside Tyler and his beautiful groan we got going there, we also have a special guest, my co-host of the Level Up podcast and Game On DC, John Fiasco Byram, has joined us this evening.
Stay in the fight, guys. Let's go.
Sucker went to all three games and lost all of them.
Wow. But I'm 2-0 at the watch party, so it works out, right?
Hey, so hopefully that trend continues on Tuesday, right?
I hope so.
I'll take it.
What I'm hearing is you should have stayed home and watched the games.
Negative, sir. When you have season tickets and your team somehow manages to make it to the World Series on a case of errors by the other teams that you play against, you go. And may I mention real quick, I only had to pay $1,300 for the entire postseason. That's the wild card. That's the NLDS, that's the NLCS, and the World Series all combined. Those tickets for the home games for the Washington Nationals, standing room was starting at almost $700-$800. So as far as I'm concerned, wow. I came out a winner on that one.
Okay, but how much were your season tickets?
So I have half season. So my half season is only, I believe the final numbers are $1,365, which isn't really bad for 42 games.
So,
oh, that's not bad at all, actually.
No, it's you know, 42 games. That includes the exhibition game, the last preseason game that's played at Nats Park. So 41 out of the 82 home games. So, I mean, I'm not driving up to DC every night, so I'm happy about that. But yeah, every other night's pretty cool.
Like, I can't you pay a total of $2,600 then for everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really not bad at all.
It's not bad. And just to give an idea of where I sit, left field foul pole, second row. So let's be real here. I'm right behind Juan Soto the entire season, literally close enough that I can see all of his mistakes like it slaps me in the face. So, yeah, it's awesome. But Juan's a great guy. He interacts with the crowd quite a bit. That's cool. It's really cool. It's a unique experience. Outfield seats, highly, highly underrated.
My only interaction with an outfield player was with Bryce Harper, believe it or
ooh.
Not.
And oh yeah, it was that
interesting one. No. So he played left field at the time when I was there, and so I was at the very top, like the highest you could get. But I was at the point, the highest row or stand, whatever you want to get. But I was at the point where I could like lean over and fall down. And I said, "Hey, throw me the ball," and he threw it to me. Where it went over my head and someone else caught it. So that is my only interaction with him, with an outfielder at least. So, I mean, were you able to get a ball from Monson at all, or even, you know, get it?
Okay,
you know?
First off, if a player was nice enough to throw me a ball in the outfield, I'd probably give it to a kid that was near me. Same thing, if I caught a foul ball, which I don't sit in foul territory, but if I was sitting in foul territory, I'd still give it to a kid. I did catch a home run ball barehanded. No bounce.
Like a man.
Not like the man last night.
Like a man.
Taking it to the chest.
First off.
Yeah, that was off his chest.
I want people to realize something, okay? He was carrying two 42-ounce cans of Bud Light. those cans are $14 each. He was carrying $28 worth of beer. That man is a national hero for taking that ball off the chest and saving the beer.
100%.
National hero.
People would have dropped babies before they dropped their beers.
Yeah. Okay, that might be going a little far there, buddy.
Especially it's not. The I know one some of those own. People.
I'm not one of those.
I grew up with those people.
Definitely catch the ball and the baby at the same time. You know what? My baby would catch the ball. That's how good he is.
Oh, yeah. Is that how it would work?
That's how it
baby
works right
babes.
There. Right there. Right there, right there, right there.
You tell me he's like jumping like three rows up and one hand in it as he's falling backwards?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to throw him up. I say, here, catch the ball.
Oh, damn. Okay.
And he's right there.
Okay, I see you. He's right there.
Does Julia listen to this?
Yeah, that's the end of the baby and his relationship all in one play. That's a double play.
When I went to the wild card game, I was very close of bringing him because literally 2 hours before I got the ticket, Julia was like, "Hey, can you, you know, watch Leo?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah, sure. I don't have anything. I'm just going to watch the wild card game on TV." And sure enough, I get a call and they're like, "Hey, we got a ticket for you." And I was like, "Hey, Julia, Could I take a rain check on that watch party with the baby and actually go to the game? She's like, fine. I was like, I'll bring Leo. She's like, no, it's going to be past his bedtime. Don't worry about it. I was like, sweet. So that's why, that is really my only, I guess, in, that's why I'm really into the Nats right now, is because I probably went to that game. If I didn't go to that game, I'd have a, not as much, I guess, like ownership or like, I don't know, give or take to them, because I'm not really a baseball guy. But because I went to that game, and it's, I mean, it's, I think it's bigger than the Caps, in my opinion, probably because I'm a Sabres fan. But I mean, do you guys get that feeling, especially those in DC, John and Joey would know, but I know Drew, you're all the way in North Carolina. Do you guys have that feeling where people are more around the Nats than the Caps were when they won it 2 years ago or a year ago? Two years ago.
I mean, from my perspective, that's a tough one. I don't quite know. Yeah, I don't know if I can compare that. How about you, John? I feel like there were tons of people for that Capitals game. And I felt like the big thing with the Capitals game was that you brought in people who didn't necessarily watch or follow hockey that often. While with the Nats game, I feel like people are cheering them on, but I don't feel like it's drawing as giant of a crowd.
I feel like the one thing people need to remind themselves of is the sports hierarchy when it comes to popularity. Hockey is still, numbers-wise, not just from, you know, TV numbers, radio numbers, attendance. Hockey is still, you can make an argument, third or fourth when it comes to actual fandom, when it comes to, you know, those numbers on TV, the radio, the, you know, the games and people in attendance. You know, when you take a look at Capital One Arena for a hockey game, you're fitting just over 18,000 people in there for a hockey game. And that's a sold out hockey game. Nats Park, a sold out game at Nats Park is just under 44,000 people, which every game of the World Series has been sold out. Every game of the NLCS and NLDS and Wildcard, they were all sold out. We're talking almost 44,000 people. The watch parties alone are drawing, you know, I believe the last watch party for game two, it was close to 15,000 people that showed up for a watch party that was outside, you know. And, you know, for game one, there was still about 12,000 people that showed up and it was raining. So in that sense, yeah, I would agree that baseball probably has that larger following, has that larger fandom, just because it's been around forever. It's considered the American pastime. It's a part of, you know, American history. It's part of Americana. So it's one of those things where if the Nationals were to pull this off, I would fully expect the parade to be bigger. Not saying it should be bigger, but I would fully expect the parade to be bigger. I would imagine there'd be more people showing up. I imagine there'd be people flying in, you know, from all over the world, you know, displaced Nats fans or people who have hopped on the Nats bandwagon that are accepting the Nationals as their Lord and Savior, you know, and cheering on the team if they were to win the World Series. So, yeah, I think just because of where baseball ranks, closer to that number two spot, a solid number two, I feel like they would have a larger turnout fan-wise overall for a parade and for that fandom in general.
I think it definitely helps that the Skins suck. Washington racial slurs. They have just given all their fans to Nats fans. I think that's definitely helped. The one thing I hate about baseball is, give you an example, I don't have TBS, I don't have cable, so I wanted to listen to the game on the radio. I couldn't listen to the game on the radio unless I was in my car, because I couldn't listen on the internet, because MLB rights are so freaking stupid. It's another reason why people are losing interest in baseball, is because of how stupid their rights are with MLB. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so they're literally they're digging their pastime into a grave, into a 6-foot hole, if they continue to be the Nazis of the MLB, of, you know, no type of communication with anybody. You have to have everything, you have to buy everything, whatever the package is.
Well, I mean, I completely agree with what you said. But at the same time, it's not just Major League Baseball doing that. You know, the NFL, you know, started this whole thing with the NFL Sunday Ticket, allowing you to watch out of market games, but you have to pay a premium for it. Or you have to go to a bar and you can watch it for free, but then you end up buying food. You know, NHL is the same thing. You cannot, in the DC area, you cannot hop onto 106.7 The Fan online and listen to any local sports game, just because of the way those rights are distributed to those areas. You know, you're not going to be able to hop on a 106.7 The Fan stream in Los Angeles and expect to be able to listen to a Caps game. That defeats the whole purpose of that market area, of the idea of blackouts. Of the, you know, that's how these leagues and clubs make money, how they get their revenue. Now, you can make the argument, yeah, do they really need all that extra money? Probably not, but the thing is, fans are willing to pay that extra money. You know, you can solve that issue with Major League Baseball and listening online. If you paid, what was it, $10 for the entire year, you can get every audio feed, home and away, for anywhere in the country except for your local market online. As simple as that. Like for
it's
10,
a little
for
more than that. I think it's 20. But still, it's not like an astronomical amount of money.
Not worth it.
I have to say, this just reminded me yesterday, I had to run an errand and I wanted to listen to the beatdown that the Panthers were getting. And Charlotte is all about the Panthers. They're everywhere all the time. They make this big deal about being the home, you know, that they're this team for both Carolinas and blah, blah, blah. I was able to find it on one FM radio station that didn't come in very well where I live. That's 20 minutes away from up the center of uptown. But I found six channels that had the NASCAR race in Virginia, crystal clear.
Martinsville.
So that's not even an issue of being out of market. I was in the market and I could not find it on the radio to listen to them getting their butts kicked. Which
that's what you
amazing.
Get for having all those country stations pre-programmed on your radio.
Oh no, this was full scan.
Yeah. Giddy up, cowboy.
Oh my gosh. The other thing I want to touch on as far as this versus the Capitals, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've obviously been in the stadium for some of these World Series games. I've only attended one of the watch parties. Looking at the Capitals and watching their run in the NHL Finals for the Stanley Cup, there was a lot more, not really diversity in a sense. It was pretty much you had Vegas colors and you had Capitals colors. Watching the Nationals broadcast against the Astros, and again, some of these could be throwback uniforms, but I feel like I see a lot of other team, like third-party team logos on the screen. Like, yeah, there's a huge sea of red. You get the Houston orange and all their different colors involved too. But when it comes down to it, I still see like navy blues or dark blacks or different things. And yes, obviously Washington has their navy blue rocking right now, but they also have different logos on some of these uniforms. And I feel like that's something I've seen more in MLB than I have in really most other sports at this point in the finals.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. And I think that's one of the knocks that DC gets just because of our unique situation of what's here in this area, and that is the U.S. federal government. You know, it's a very transient area. So you have a lot of fans from other cities that grew up with, like, you know, let's say the Dodgers or the Oakland Athletics or the Seattle Mariners or you name them.
The Atlanta Braves.
The who? So anywho.
Yeah.
And the unique thing about baseball fans is their team doesn't have to be playing and they will still go to a game and enjoy baseball. Baseball is arguably a social event. You know, you don't go to a baseball game. You don't sit there quietly watching the game. It is a social gathering. I've had season tickets there for 4 years now, and I've been going to games since 2005 when they first moved here. There has not been a single time I have not gone to a game and not been in a conversation with people that I'm with or random people around me. It is a social gathering. Yeah, you still watch the game, but it's a social event. When you go to a Caps game, it is so fast-paced. There is so much action going on that if you're holding a conversation, you are missing something. That's what makes baseball unique. You can be a Dodgers fan, go to a Nats game versus the Atlanta Braves, and you can enjoy baseball without having any cards in the fight. And you can enjoy the experience. And what I thought was really cool is, you know, again, you know, it's the Nationals' first time in this incarnation of the Nationals, being in the World Series. Very few people, I don't think anyone's still alive from the last time the Nationals went there in 1933, in their first version of a team in DC. But everyone's been really cool. Astro fans have been really cool. Nationals fans have been really cool. I mean, heck, there was a thank you letter in the Washington Post today from an Astros family thanking Nationals fans for being so hospitable to them and helping them out around the stadium and around the DC area. You know, there's other cities that will not be named, Philadelphia, don't have that reputation where you're almost afraid to go to that city wearing the away team's colors or a team that's not even playing. you know, and I will admit, I'm on the side where I don't think you should wear your, you know, a team's jersey if you're going to a game and they're not playing there. But I think you can get away with a hat. I think you can get away with a t-shirt. But I don't think you need to go head to toe decked out in Dodger gear if you're watching the Phillies take on the Yankees. I don't think that's, you know, to me, that's just obnoxious. But in the World Series, it's different. It's a different thing. It's more of a celebration of baseball. And, you know, I've seen Dodger fans there. I've seen Yankee fans. I think we all make fun of the Yankee fans. Red Sox fans were there. They were pretty chill. I saw a couple of Braves fans. Some moron showed up in a Phillies Bryce Harper jersey. I'm not going to hold it against them. But, you know, the thing is, like, everyone is welcoming about it. And I think that's something that's unique about baseball outside of Philadelphia.
Boston.
Did you say question, Ty?
I said Boston.
Oh, okay.
Vomited a little bit when I said that.
So jumping back into the World Series itself, one thing that's really been unique, as well as all these characteristics that we've mentioned for baseball itself, is the way this World Series is playing out. So far, every team that is hosted at home has lost to the visiting team. We'll kick things off here with Game 1 and 2, where Washington took a 2-0 lead over the Astros in the first few games in Houston. This in particular was big. The Astros came in. It was something around a 9 out of 10 times they were expected to win these first two games based on betting odds out in Vegas. I almost placed a bet if I could have because I wasn't able to get a hold of a bookie in time because Drew doesn't go out there till March. Like, come on, Drew. Where were you when I needed you? But overall, it's just very interesting to see how these have played out because the Nationals look very dominant in these first few games. John, as a fan watching at the watch parties, what was the energy like for these first few games? Was it nervous at the beginning? Did they expect big momentum?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I think the fans were just happy to be there. I feel like this season, like if you haven't paying attention to baseball, the Nationals should not be in the playoffs. Statistically speaking, they should not be there. They started the season 19-31. They had less than a 1% chance to make it to the postseason, and somehow they went on an absolute tear for the last two-thirds of the season. It has been absolutely incredible. We shouldn't have made it into the wild card game, but we did. You know, we were throwing games at the end of the season. The Brewers couldn't lose. The Cardinals were winning left and right, and it was a nightmare. And we're sitting like, well, are we going to make the playoffs? Are we going to make it to the wild card? And somehow we did. The wild card game, it was a fluke error by the right fielder on Juan Soto's hit in the eighth inning that let us take the lead and eventually win the game. It was a terrible performance by Clayton Kershaw that allowed the Nationals back into the NLDS and ultimately a Howie Kendrick grand slam to beat the Dodgers in game 5. We swept the Cardinals in 4 games in the NLCS. Like, the Cardinals are not that great of a team, but nobody expected a sweep. A lot of people did pick the Nationals. The Nationals were not supposed to be here. So a lot of the fans feel like we're playing with house money. So anything good that happens, we're happy about. Anything bad that happens, we're just kind of like, yeah. I mean, we have a bad bullpen. Like, we got 2 awesome pitchers at the trade deadline, but at the end of the day, we still have a bad bullpen. Our offense is streaky. So when we hit. Awesome. It's great. When we don't, okay, cool. That's been the story of the entire year. Now, yeah, it's going to be upsetting if the Nationals lose. But for these first two games, I think even we felt the pressure of, like, how much of an underdog we were. Like, oh, you know, Gerrit Cole, he hasn't lost in 20 outings. He's been undefeated in 3 months. Oh, there's no chance you guys are going to knock him around. And what did the Nationals do? They knocked him around. Like, we weren't supposed to do that. And we did it. Zimmerman hits the first home run in Nationals history in the World Series, straight away center field. I mean, it was a bomb. It was amazing. A lot of fans were excited about it. No one had us winning that game. Scherzer came out, pitched a gem of a game. The bullpen came out, was absolutely phenomenal. It was a 5-4 win. It was a squeaker. It was a lot of fun. But hey, it was a win. And the second game against Verlander, yeah, okay, look, going into it, he's 0-5 in World Series games. He's been there before. He's a veteran. Verlander is a hell of a good a pitcher. Absolutely amazing. No one said we're going to knock him around like we did. And it was like, we put up 7 on him before he left. It was absurd. We could not hit him. Like, we were just knocking him all around the park. And putting up 12 overall in that game. Strasburg has been absolutely phenomenal in the postseason. I mean, starting pitching is still the Nationals' number one like way they're going to win. Like that is their superpower, is their starting pitching. Those first two games showed that Strasburg and Scherzer could go head to head with two pitchers that all of baseball was saying were pretty much unbeatable.
Right. And the bats when they're hot. I mean, the Nationals definitely have some strong bats. They carry them through the second half of the season. Tyler, over to you. You predicted the Nationals to win the World Series moving in 4-2. Were you expecting them to take the first two games, or do you think they'd start getting their wins later down the road?
I was very happy to get their... I didn't expect them... I expected them to win at least one to get that sixth game. Clearly, that's not the case now because they have to win two now. But I expect them to at least win one. And just knowing that everyone is making such a big hype about both these pitchers with Cole and Verlander, one of them had to bleed, and one of them had to have an okay night or an off night with the stakes, because what Nats have done all year around is similar to what John was saying. As soon as they got in the playoffs, they had no pressure. If you look at all the other playoffs that they've been in, 2012 and 2015, 2017, they were the number one. They were expected to win. And so with every single one of these series, they weren't expected to win. It was supposed to be the Brewers with Hader in. It was supposed to be the Dodgers with Kershaw in. It was supposed to be the Cardinals. And yet they said, we got no pressure. And so it finally took them to not having any pressure to perform where they are now in the World Series, which it's about time. I mean, you know, this is what happens to big teams when the pressure's, you know, put on you is of like, oh, they start to crumble. So I think Houston, I'm very scared of Houston. I hope I'm wrong, but with Verlander never gotten a World Series win, this might be the one he gets in the last five games he's pitched, He's been 0-5, and so this may be the final Cinderella story where he gets it. At the same time, it could be the Nats, where no team has ever won all the away games and to win the World Series. So could be many Cinderella stories here.
Drew, with these first two games in mind, is there anything else you want to touch on before we move to Game 3, 4, and 5?
Just that I thought they might steal one of those two games just to shock people. You know, maybe Verlander was kind of my thought that they would find a way to rattle him. Definitely didn't expect them to win both of those, though. But everything's played out perfectly for my prediction of seven games for the Nats. So high drama right to the end, hopefully. And just coming into the World Series and the playoffs in general with the Nationals, talking about statistically they shouldn't have been there, I feel like this was kind of this perfect storm where a lot of times when folks have a very statistical long shot, not only is it about their record, but it's also about who's on the team and a team coming together to play greater than the sum of their parts. And the Nationals have done that to some degree, but they're a very talented team. No one expected them to be where they were at that point in the season when their chances of making the postseason were less than 1%. Because they weren't supposed to be. They have all this young talent that we've seen over the last couple years where half of it's been hurt, and then you discover another young player who then got hurt, and it was very hard to watch because you kept seeing all this talent go down, and we thought, okay, it's all together, and it just took them a little bit to come together. Imagine if they had played like that from the start of the season. But anyway, you don't get that very often where it's not a team figuring out some way to win. It was a team finally realizing we're a very, very, very talented team. Why aren't we playing like it? And then finally, like, clicking and evolving into the team they should have been, not becoming something that no one could have imagined. That makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely makes sense. And they have really proven over and over, they have all these haters out there, they have all these people doubting them, and they continue to show that they can overcome these doubters, and then they dance. They dance after it. Game 2, I had the pleasure of sitting next to John and watching the watch party at Nationals Park. The Nats did win that one 12-3, the biggest margin yet in the World Series. And on top of that, our seats were free that night, thanks to John's beautiful ticket perks. But they did end up going for an astronomical price the next day, and that brings us to Game 3. Those free seats we had for Game 2 in the watch party went for close to $12,000, just shy of it, about $1,170 the next game. So Game 3, Game 4, Game 5, They all happened up here in D.C. in Nationals Park. John, you had the pleasure of attending these games. As a Nats fan, they were probably a little hard here and there. As a baseball fan, I'm sure they were quite enjoyable. We did have Game 3 going 4-1, Game 4 going 8-1, and Game 5 going 7-1, all in favor of the Astros. So as a Nats fan, it was a bit tough. You end up out of this through five games being down 2-3. At the same point, you got to see your first World Series game, and it happened here with your team playing in D.C. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, so I think I made this comment to you at game two, where I said multiple times, it doesn't feel real yet. Like, I look at the field, I see World Series 2019 painted on the field, I see all the World Series ads placed on the outfield wall, I see all the updated stuff that they did in the stadium for the World Series. It didn't feel real yet. I'm sitting there, you know, Joey and I, we're sitting there, for the game two watch party, we're sitting in the Delta suite, and it was just like, okay, cool. We're watching it on a screen. It's like a glorified watch party in someone's basement with free food, which was awesome. But the thing is like, it didn't feel real yet. Game three, walking through those gates, you could feel the energy. It was incredible. Like, people were, I've never seen so many happy Nats fans at one point at a baseball game in forever. And people were just generally happy to be there. You know, the pomp and circumstance, the parades, the bands, the, you know, all the sideshow, it's great. Okay, cool. It's supposed to get you excited. There is nothing like hearing your home PA announcer welcoming you to Nationals Park for game three of the World Series. That alone, like, saying it right now, if we had webcams on, I have goosebumps still. It is such an unreal experience being there with the energy of everybody else, you know, to celebrate a game that you love, to celebrate a team that you love, that you share a common identity with. Like, for that moment in time, you know, it's DC. Let's be real here. There's politics. You're not left. You're not right. You're not independent. You are a Nationals fan. Whatever makes you different from one another, for those, it feels like 4.5 hours every game. You're a Nationals fan. You're bleeding red. You're there to finish the fight. You're there to cheer your team on. And even though the Nationals kind of fell flat in all three games, and it was a little soul crushing, we couldn't cheer as much as we wanted to. Every day we came back, people were happy. People were still smiling. People were still energetic. There was that hope. And even right now, even though the Nats are up against the wall down 3-2 in the series, there's still that hope. Yeah, it sucks that when I left the ballpark last night, that's the last time I'm going to see the Nationals in person playing baseball in 2019. That sucks. But we're still in the World Series. The Nationals community has grown so much as a group of people. In this year alone, it's been incredible. It's absolutely fantastic.
Dude. Now, you mentioned... Okay, go ahead, Tyler. I was waiting for one of you guys
I put
jump
everyone
in.
To sleep with that, apparently.
No. I was listening. I just wanted one of them to jump in. Go ahead, Ty.
I would say I'm more excited for the Nats than I was for the Caps. And I think if you're a DC fan of anything, I think you're more excited for... And maybe you were excited for Ovechkin, but I mean, you can't. How do you not love a team that was so awful? No one would show up to the games. The stadium was half filled, probably in every single game up until maybe September. And now they're in the World Series. You can't be more happier than that. So all those bandwagons like myself should admit their bandwagons and know that this is probably a once in a lifetime experience, because Rendon's going to be gone. Strasburg's going to buy out somewhere else. Scherzer's not going to be able to play next year because they put too much cortisone in his shoulder and he won't be able to throw anymore. Zimmerman's going to retire. This is probably the last time Nats have a chance for a long time until more Juan Soto's and Trey Turner's come up. So I'm excited to see what they do tomorrow or, you know, whenever this pod, I mean, who knows when this podcast will get posted, but we'll see what happens coming up. So
the amount of negativity I just heard come out of your mouth, sir,
It's a true Bills fan. It's a true Bills fan.
Normal.
No. Look, I do agree. I think Rendon's gone. I think Strasburg is going to opt out of his last year, but I think he's still going to stay. I really do. Zimmerman's not retiring. I hate to tell you that. He's going to come back on a 1 to 2 year deal that's very team friendly. He's already said he doesn't want to play for any other team. He wants 1 or 2 more years. He'll probably get a 2 year, you know, $6 million contract, but he's not going to get paid anything more than that. Rendon, that's going to hurt more than Harper leaving. I think Harper leaving didn't necessarily hurt the team because it allowed for Corbin to come in, and he's been very good this season. But losing Rendon is going to be rough. That guy has been consistent for the past, 6-7 years that he's been up with the team, if not longer. The dude's a stud. Losing him is gonna suck. And unless the learners are willing to pay him up front and not defer his payments to 2075, I think the Nationals may have a chance, but I'd probably put it at close to 10% of re-signing him. But I don't think Zimmerman's retiring. I think Strasburg will come back. So I think they may try to do something to trade for a third baseman until one of the studs in the minor leagues are ready to come up. But I wouldn't necessarily say the window's closed yet.
I have to say, Anthony Rendon, I remember being up there when I was an intern and getting to go to a game when he had just really come up onto the team. He was still a utility guy more than anything, and just loving his hustle and loving his effort and his energy. And to see him now being the leader that he is on this team, it makes me so happy, and I really, really hope they pay him because otherwise, wherever he goes, you know, they're going to be very, very lucky to get him. But he is everything baseball should be, if you ask me, because he's a little scrappy. You know, he's not the best at any one thing, but he tries so hard at everything, and he just makes things happen. He is really worthy of being, like, every kid's hero if they're a baseball fan. And then on a broader scale, I don't know if it's because I'm just a baseball fan and I have been my whole life, if it's because I'm a really big fan of the Predators, so I don't really care about the Capitals, but which still doesn't even make sense because I'm a Braves fan, but I can say I'm much more excited for the Nationals than I was for the Capitals. And maybe it is just a matter of I went to a few of those games, and I know you all so well, and there's just something in my head that I'm just attached to them too. That I'm so excited just that this is happening, and I can't imagine that feeling you had when you heard the PA announcer say that. But I've been to one playoff game, and that was in the NFL, and that was the Titans getting beat by the Chargers 12 years ago, I think it was at this point. So I can't even imagine that atmosphere or what that must have been like. So that's, I don't know. I'll be interested to see what this team looks like next year, regardless of what happens. But boy, I'm really, really hoping they make something happen tomorrow, or like Tyler said, whenever this comes out, Game 6.
And I think John hit the nail on the head on a few different things here. One, the whole Rendon thing, I'm in agreement with him. I do not think the Nationals and the learners pay up. I think he is going to be on his way out, regardless if they win this World Series or not. And the second point being, like you said, Drew, you're buying into the energy of the Nats. You're buying into this World Series energy. And I think, just like John said, it's because of that atmosphere of just liking baseball in general. With hockey, with football, there's those intense rivalries. And don't get me wrong, there's intense rivalries in baseball. But when it comes down to it, if you're local to the team, or if you have some tie to that area, or even just baseball in general, you fall in love with the World Series over and over again every year. I watch NHL championships, Stanley Cup finals. I watch NBA championships here and there, even though it feels like the Warriors win every year nowadays. But when it comes down to it, I don't feel the ties to those things. I'm watching them because I'm a fan of sport, not because I'm necessarily a fan of baseball or basketball or hockey. But when it comes down to baseball, I feel like it has the edge in a sense. It does pull in those traditional baseball fans. It pulls in those people, that anyone with ties to certain areas. And I feel like that's where it really transcends of what we currently see in major sports.
Speaking of major sports, I'm going to flip this conversation kind of on its upside down. But my first question, now when I ask this question, I just want you to think of your first gut response. Okay? And it doesn't have to do with baseball either. All right? What do you think?
Okay, then I'm going to take us back for just a second. I want to see the predictions. So right now we're sitting 5 games into the series. We have 2 games left, Games 6 and 7, both to be played in Houston. Houston leads 3-2. Drew, who comes on top?
It's Nats in 7. Like I said from the beginning.
John.
Ah, I don't want to go on record. So my biggest concern, I've heard rumblings that Scherzer's back spasms and neck spasms are a lot more serious than what the team has been saying. I've heard a lot of rumors from reliable sources that say he's done for the year. If that is the case, it's Houston in seven. I don't think the Nationals have enough firepower. I don't think they have enough strength in their bullpen to have a bullpen game, as we saw yesterday in game five. They can't do it in game seven. You cannot trust Fernando Rodney, Tanner Rainey. You cannot put those guys in and expect to win. There's just no way. And the bats have to come alive. I think game six, the Nationals can knock Verlander around again. I think they can take that win. But when it comes to game seven, if Scherzer's not ready to go, I do not see the Nationals winning that game.
I'm going to stick with my original prediction. It's not the order of games I expected it to fall in, but I did pick Houston 4-2. I'm going to stick with that. I think they close out in game six. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's the Nats in seven, but we'll see how that plays out. Tyler, prediction, and then take us away with your next segment. We got about 5 minutes left.
Houston wins it in Wins it in six. Or wins it in four, whatever. They win in six games. Anyways, I don't want to say it, but I have to say it. All right, so the next thing I kind of interested in is when I ask this question, I just want you to think of your gut response, not thinking of baseball yet, but what do you think of replay? Do you like it or not like it? And I just need an answer, say, from John, just one yes or no. Like replay or replay?
Replay in what sense?
Just
yeah, that's very broad.
Just replay in general.
Like, are we talking like...
That's what I'm saying. So we have football replay, we have basketball replay, we have baseball replay. In general...
VAR.
We have VAR, yeah.
I like it.
You like it. Okay, Joey?
I like it, yeah.
I would say, yeah, I like it as well.
Drew?
Yeah, I guess.
So can we all... Are we in agreement? I mean, I'm kind of against replay, but can we... Do we think baseball needs a robo-ump?
Yes. 100% yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to steal this real quick. Look. You don't have to be a Nationals fan. You don't have to be a Houston fan. You do not even have to be a baseball fan. If you watch any kind of competition where there is a regulated zone that determines the outcome of an event in a game, and you're in the World Series or you're in the championship game, and you're an official, and you're supposed to be the best of the best, you cannot allow what has happened in the World Series this year to happen. There is no way. Now, look, I'm not blaming the umpires for the Nationals losing. Absolutely not. The Nationals do great at losing by themselves. What I think the umpire has been doing has been killing rallies. That's the biggest issue. That strikeout in quotations, to Robles last night, is 100% the reason why baseball needs an electronic strike zone, needs that robo-ump. Because I'm sorry, that cannot happen. That pitch was at least 6 inches off the plate. Two full baseballs off the plate. Everyone in the outfield could tell it was off the plate. But the umpire behind the plate, I'm not even going to mention his name because it pisses me off, calls it a strike? That is absurd. And we've seen it this entire World Series. Game one umpire refused to call the low strike in the strike zone. It was in the strike zone. Game two, the umpire refused to call the outside strike on right-handed batters. In game three, they refused to call the inside strike on left-handed batters. This cannot happen. Yes, I understand they're human. Yes, I understand they make mistakes. But I'm sorry, that cannot happen. And the umpire blaming the catcher for assuming it's a strike, and because he assumed it's a strike, the umpire is going to call it a ball. Look, no one's there to see the umpires, you know, stand on their milk carton and say, hey, look, you paid $4,000 to come see me screw the World Series up. No one paid money to see the umpire. The fact that players were even being asked post-game about the umpires shows you why the umpires need to get it together. Major League Baseball needs to go to the Umpire Association, tell them to figure it out, stop putting in 68-year-old umps that have barely any eyesight left to call balls and strikes in the freaking World Series, and move to robotic umpires. Suck it up and realize we have gotten to the point now where human error is not cool. It's not what makes baseball baseball. It is absurd. You either expand instant replay to challenge these BS calls, or you put in a robo-ump and you have a person off the field make the call, not the home plate umpire, not the crew chief, someone off the field to make the call who's not going to get their feelings hurt for having to overturn their original call. There's, end of rant.
There's no way you're going to be able to review balls and strikes. It's just not.
It's electronic.
I mean,
you won't have
to. No. But
you can. I actually demoed technology for that a couple weeks ago.
And they're doing it in the minor leagues already.
They're trying to do that in minor leagues. But when robo umps are calling balls in the dirt strikes, you're a little bit far off from making them all day. I think what you can. I mean, I think human error is part of the game. So, you know, you suck it up because. There's a good chance that there were 15 other chances you had the ability to hit a pitch, to get a ball, get a strike. It goes both ways, and I think it does even out in any game you play. It's very, very, very rare, very rare, where one thing goes, the Rams or the Saints game in the NFC Championship. We can think of many examples, but I think at the end of the day, it evens out on – what, you know, on exactly, you know, human error does. I do it as a referee.
I agree. In every sport, there's plenty of times where a call is clearly egregious and clearly changed the outcome, but there were other chances for your team to have made a difference anyway. But that grace ends when an official actually says, because you assumed it was a strike, I called it a ball. That's not human error. That's personal feelings. And that can't happen in any sport, in any decision-making process. You either have to be completely unbiased or you have to have a computer that is going to make the unbiased call for you.
You don't have to have a computer. I don't think so.
That has to be addressed, though, that this guy very clearly said, I'm calling this a ball. Because you assumed it was a strike. Like
that guy just doesn't need to ump again.
Right. And but that won't happen. He'll be invited back for next year's World Series.
No, I don't think so. He's done, whatever his name is.
I think the big issue here is again, I'm not arguing that the umpire, you know, made the Nationals lose. No, the Nationals definitely did that themselves by not being able to hit. The issue is when you make those critical calls, when it's a full count. And you have bases loaded, or you have a runner on the, you have runners on the corners, or runners at second and third, and it's a 4-1 game, and a single can get you two runs, and now it's going to be a 1-run game. You cannot make that mistake of calling a pitch that is clearly a ball. I mean, you have Astros officials saying, "Yeah, that was a ball." You have Major League Baseball officials saying, yeah, that was a ball. You have
the pitcher said it was a ball.
Everybody said it was a ball except for the umpire. And you want to know how you know the umpire realized he screwed up?
My mother didn't
Victor
say a ball.
Victor Robles threw his bat towards the umpire, threw his batting gloves towards the umpire, and his batting helmet towards the umpire. He was not ejected. The umpire realized he screwed up big time. If Robles is going to be out, let him get out from a legitimate strike or a swinging strike. If he's going to walk, let him because it was actually a ball. There was a pitch yesterday that Cole threw clearly in the zone. No, pardon me. It wasn't Cole. It was Joe Ross. He threw a pitch clearly in the zone. It was the lower outside quadrant of the strike zone. On every stat cast in baseball, on Fox, everywhere had it inside the zone by at least 4 or 5 inches. Umpire called it a ball. Why? Because he said Gomes moved. That can't happen. That's the issue. That allowed the player to walk. And what happened at the very next bat? At bat, that was with two outs. What happened the very next bat? A two-run shot. That cannot happen. A strike has to be a strike. A ball has to be a ball. Whether your feelings get hurt or not, it needs to be legitimate, especially in the World Series. Let the player strike out. Don't strike him out because you blinked and now you're going to blame it on the catcher. That's absolutely stupid.
So what if we
now sticking with baseball here as we come to an end? I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball here because I think there is a diplomatic solution out there that not many people have considered. So the technology is there. There is robo technology. You can go complete robo ump, but the tracking technology is there as well. But as a human civilization, we've also made a lot of strides as far as AR goes. Could we ever see something where we see goggles or glasses on an ump that'll paint out the strike zone for them? So we still have a human being there making the calls, but they do have an assisted painted strike zone in front of their face as well.
And then there's also data to go back and review. You know, if one ump seems to be favoring a team, the data is there to go back and look and see what they're seeing. I like that idea. Even as someone who does cybersecurity, the idea of having data that you can go back and review is important to me. So I like that. That's a really good thought. We could definitely do that. Although umpires wearing Google Glass would look a little ridiculous.
But I mean, I feel like that is a good medium because I think the one thing people argue about all the time, especially in baseball, is how the strike zone varies from ump to ump. And at some point, yeah, I agree. That is part of the game. Is, you know, being able to analyze and study that umpire strike zone and taking advantage of the fact that he calls that outside pitch a strike when it's closer to the black than when it isn't. You know, that will, I think that is a part of the game. What I don't think is a part of the game is when an umpire makes a mistake and then blames on the player for doing it. I do think like AR glasses will help him out. It would standardize the strike zone. I mean, if the NFL came out and said, hey, look, we can actually standardize what in the world pass interference is, I think everyone would be okay with it. But the fact that they can't do it, what did NFL do this year? They made pass interference a challengeable call. I think that is the right decision. Why can't baseball do that? People need to realize this isn't 1920 anymore. This is the 21st century. This is 2019. We have the technology. And let's be honest, like, put your ego aside. Baseball needs it. Baseball needs it. You guys even mentioned it. They're hemorrhaging numbers like crazy. They need to get the younger populations back to the game. How are you going to do that? You're not going to do it with fluky strike zones and a bunch of old people trying to argue that the game in 1940 is better than 2019, and they're going to run by these imaginary rules from 1940 and try to implement it in 2019. That's not how you're going to do it at all. You need to have some kind of standardization. If that means AR glasses, do it. By all means, put it up there. Let the umpire have a better visual field of what a strike is.
More technology, more problems.
Completely. I think the more you give to humans, in this case, the more for human error. And I think that's an issue. That is an issue, especially in the World Series or in the Super Bowl. I mean, again, the official's not the one that at the end of the day determines who wins and loses. But in those critical moments, it stands out. And it shouldn't be about the umpire. It shouldn't be about the referee. It needs to be about the players. Give the benefit of the doubt to the player, not to the umpire. People are there to see a game being played, not the umpire make a spectacle out of something people are paying hundreds, if not thousands, of their hard-earned dollars to go see a championship game in their hometown. They're not there to see the umpire make that into a Cirque du Soleil act.
Gizum.
Listeners, you've heard our thoughts. You've heard John's opinionated look on this topic. Tyler's very opinionated on the human side. Drew and I are a little bit more toward the middle and willing to make some diplomatic moves here, but we want to hear your thoughts as well. Head on over to Twitter at CAMB Podcast. Let us know your thoughts. We'll throw up a few polls on robo referees, on Nationals Astros. We want to know what you think, and you can also shoot us emails at CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. Last but not least, if you like what we do here at the show, consider supporting us at patreon.com/OTN. And also feel free to drop us a review. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, all those podcast catchers out there, wherever you listen to us. Go ahead and drop us a little review. Let us know what you like on the show, what you want us to continue improving and changing. And we look forward to hearing for you next week. This has been episode 41. A great time here. John, thanks for joining us. And we will catch you guys for episode 42 next week.
Go Bills. We'll be right back.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.